Welcome to the worst week yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we dig a big ass hole, and only once we get too deep down to reach the edge to pull ourselves out do we realize, hey, maybe we should have brought a ladder down here with us. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and I'm joined once again by Kennedy Cooper. Kennedy, what's the biggest hole you've ever dug?
I've actually dug a few pretty big holes now that you mention it. You know, I did farming and construction for a while in my 20s.
Oh, no, I'm talking recreational holes.
Recreational hole? Maybe like 3 feet deep the most, probably.
Okay. I actually got in trouble. I was in Indonesia, I think, and I was there to go scuba diving with sharks. So you do that at like 6 a.m. So the rest of the day, you're just like sitting in this little bungalow on a beach. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to dig until I can't dig anymore. So like I dug out a hole that was like maybe the size of like a small jacuzzi or something. And then the fucking Indonesian beach police came and were like, you have to fill this up. What are you doing? I don't know if anybody was like, doubting
I'm going to bury myself.
I don't know if anybody would have doubted it, but it, just for the record, ACAB includes the Indonesian beach police.
I think any beach police, really, probably.
Was Baywatch, were they cops or just lifeguards?
See, lifeguards are not beach police.
Yeah, no, because
like, lifeguards don't really be fucking with you in general unless you're actually doing something unsafe. Like, lifeguards don't give a shit if you're, like, just vibing. Not making trouble.
I feel like a lifeguard would like be mad if you were like shotgunning beers. No, they would be mad if you were drinking beer out of glass bottles. You're not supposed to have glass on the beach because it makes the sand sad. Because the sand is like, man, if only we got hit by lightning, we could be glass too. That's how sand thinks.
I thought it was more like throwing a glass bottle on the beach is like dumping a bunch of skeletons on a person. Just
like, yeah.
Here you go, buddy.
Enjoy this blanket of your dead relatives. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how glass works. I don't know how beaches work, but I do. I also don't know how Baywatch works. I remember like Baywatch being a thing. I don't think I've ever actually watched an episode. I assume that there's like crimes and capers and stuff, right?
It's mostly horniness. It's mostly like, did you see that Brad wore a really cute swimsuit and now Stacy is following Brad around all day and Janet is upset because she wore a really cute swimsuit but Brad didn't notice?
Look, if Brad didn't want all that attention...
That's more or less how I remember Baywatch.
If Brad didn't want all that attention, he shouldn't have been wearing a bathing suit that revealed the outline of his general dick and ball shape. Like, come on, Brad. Dress a little modestly, you know? Come on. We can see whole hog here. Dicks out for the ocean. Kennedy, when's the last time you were in the ocean?
It's been a minute, actually.
Yeah, same. I'm trying to think. I know I was in the ocean in 2020. I went to Florida for my birthday because I thought we were all going to die after the election. So I was like, I'll risk COVID and get on a plane and go to Florida and jump in the ocean one last time.
It's not that recent for me, but I don't particularly like swimming.
Really? Oh, I fucking love... You know what? I prefer ocean swimming to lake swimming. I think.
Well, definitely I'm with you there, but...
Yeah, lakes are gross.
I just... don't like swamming that much in general.
Yeah, see, I'm very buoyant, so I enjoy being in the water, you know?
I'm a dry person. I'm a dry lizard.
Kennedy, I don't know if you know this about me, but I am a floater. What's up?
What's up?
Let's fucking go. Yeah.
Floater, I hardly know her.
Floater, I hardly... I don't know why I tried to do that, but I had nothing. You had nothing and I had even less. What's wrong with us?
lot of things.
And that's all the time for this week, folks. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We have plenty of time. We have plenty of show. Listeners, we're doing something a little different here. Kennedy's going camping. Kennedy, it might be a clandestine mission. But
I intend to touch grass.
Well, if you're going camping, you might be able to touch like moss too. Touching moss is like the next, the upper level of touching grass. If you can touch some moss on like the back of a rock, you know, that shit fucking rips. It's all like
touching moss on a back, soft moss on the back of a rock can really heal some stuff and it's going on inside you.
Mm-hmm. So we are recording this episode on Friday. Now, the thing is, usually we record this on like Sunday afternoon, and by Monday, five different like world changing events have happened. So who the fuck knows? Every single person and every single story that we're talking about this week could be dead by the time you're listening to it. Fuck, we yeah. might be dead. I don't know.
Wow.
But the thing is, if you hear us talking about something that it's like, wait a minute, that person has since died in a Boeing plane
incident.
That's wise, because we're getting this out a little early. But, you know, there's still a lot happened last week, which is currently this week while we're recording. Ooh, I just gave myself a headache. So we do have stuff to talk about, but I just wanted to, you know, let you peek behind the curtain. And hey, thank you again for listening and supporting the show. We are just real quick going to let you know that we have a Patreon. That's right. Patreon.com/worstweek yet. Folks, you can sign up and get bonus episodes of the show. I think I'm going to torture Deanna and Kennedy and make our next episode a review of the Jerry Seinfeld Pop-Tart movie.
Oh, no. No. You don't pay me enough.
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't... I think it would be worth it, because I have a feeling, you know, I don't want to judge a movie by its trailer or a book by its cover. I have a feeling we are going to all hate this movie a lot. And I think that would, there's so many funny people in it. Like it, here's
I've been trying so hard to like, I've just in my mind, I've just been like seeing stuff about this movie. But then I've just been in my mind like, well, at least I don't have to watch it for any reason. Like, I'm not joking. That's literally been a thought that I've had more than once recently. Like, at least I don't have to watch the stupid Jerry Seinfeld fucking Pop-Tarts movie for any reason. That was a thought that was passing through my head and providing me comfort. And then Andrew Hillary comes busting in here like the Kool-Aid man, like, oh, yeah, let's watch the Jerry Seinfeld Pop-Tart movie. And I'm just like, okay, I guess.
So you can
fucker.
You can head on over to Patreon if you want to brace yourself for that impact. But if you give $10,
some more patrons to sign up. This is
okay.
If, up what's going on here?
If we get one new patron this week, even if you only are given $2.50 a month, we will watch the Pop-Tart movie. That's the deal, bucko. But if you give $10,
fine.
If you give $10 a month, we'll say your name. So thank you to Chauncey Anders, Terminally Online Leftist, Zap Actions Downer, Megaforce, Peace, Nandy Angelus, Old Hobgoblin, Dracula 206, AJ from Baltimore, The Man in the West, Optimus Crime, Pablo Hummus, Goblin Mode, Andrea Humphrey, You Fuck Like My Dad, Josh Troopin, Why Not I Pay More for OnlyFans, Brienne, Nick Adams, parentheses, Alpha Male, Idnix, and CIA Brainbugs, patreon.com/worstweekyet.
I missed when you would go, Old Hobgoblin.
You know, I'm trying to get it all out in one breath, and I did it once, and I haven't been able to get it all out in one breath since, so that's why. But, you know, it's
Old Hobgoblin.
Old Hobgoblin. You know, it's more fun. I'll put some flair on it. Fuck the one breath challenge. I don't know why. Oh, did you see that? Remember, like, last year we talked about that child, the teenager who died after doing the one hot chip challenge or something?
What?
Yeah, some kid did that. Like, have you seen those things? It's like the one chip challenge, where it's like some kid died from it.
What?
Like a teenager. And they just released the coroner's report this week. And they were like, yeah, that chip killed this child. So cool. Also, it's insane that it takes 6 months to do a coroner's report. Like, I mean, look at him. He's got Cheeto dust on his fingers. He's not alive. It's open and shut case. Man, that's insensitive.
He had a congenital heart defect, and it gave him like a heart attack.
That's so fucked up. Although that's great advertising for the Packy One Chip Challenge, if I'm going to be honest with you.
Whoa, this article's out of control. Okay, this article I'm reading about this has the line, capsaicin is the component that gives chili peppers their heart. Bro, slow down. This is an article about a guy with an enlarged heart.
Did we write it? Like,
this is like more insensitive than what we would write.
We should get them on the show, whoever wrote that. Yeah, but anyways, that I guess maybe we didn't talk about it. I'm shocked that there was a story about a child dying in an interesting way and we didn't bring it up. That's, you know what? Maybe we were all too stoned the last time we talked about it, or we're supposed to. Who the fuck knows? Kennedy, we've got some great news. You know, they say that trends...
That's good. I need some good news after hearing about a teenager eating a spicy chip and dying, which is very tragic.
You know, they say that trends are secular, you know? No, circular. Wait,
they say that trends are sick, dog.
Is secular a word? Like in cycles? Yeah, that's a word. You know what?
Maybe.
Fuck you, listeners. What I'm trying to say is that every once in a while...
Hey, listeners, why don't you learn something and teach it to us?
Cyclical, I think is how you say it, not secular. Anyways.
Yeah, that's what you were looking for.
Anyways, people pay for this show. Folks, you know, things come back around every once in a while, and it warms my heart. And
actually, Andrew, they pay for the Patreon, which is even worse.
Every once in a while, you see something pop back up that you thought was gone for good, and it just brings some warmth to a cold, dead heart. And that happened this week, folks. The orcas are back. That's right. In the Strait of Gibraltar, some fucking Gibraltar jabroni was sailing his yacht, and a bunch of orcas sunk that motherfucking yacht. Let's go, dude.
Yeah, dude.
The names of the vessel was Alboron Cognac. Wow.
Man, you so deserve to get your boat fucking sank if that's the name.
Alboron Cognac. It was a 49-foot boat. And, yeah, the passengers reported feeling sudden blows. And then the boat started sinking. That fucking rules, dude. Orcas, man, like, I don't know. I've seen, like, some orca fins pop out of the water. That's about as much as you see if you like see them in the wild. But even that, like, oh, just that moment. Oh my gosh. I'm a big orca guy. I think that's what I've decided. Also, I was telling somebody that like orcas are great. Oh.
Wait, you're a big orca guy?
Oh, I'm
like, you're a big orca. That's a guy.
Look, you know, I don't ask questions about what kind of large sea animal / person you are, Kennedy. So I don't appreciate it. I like orcas because like orcas are kind of like the cats of the ocean, you know, because like there's lots of things in the ocean that will kill you, but orcas won't just kill you. They'll like play with your body until you die. Like a cat could kill a mouse like that. But often cats will just toy with it and prolong it, and it's pretty fucked up. But also, I mean, I'm a cat guy, so I'm an orca guy. It is what it is.
Wow.
I'm just now realizing how much of an atrocity it is that I do not have an orcat tattoo.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or just a fuck them boats tattoo with just an orca just destroying a boat in like a cartoonish manner. That might be a tattoo I get.
Hell yeah. Matching tattoos. Patreon.com/worstweekend. Buy me Kennedy tattoos.
Next time you're in town, let's get matching Orca tattoos.
Hell yeah. I'm actually and 100% in. Let's fucking go. But that isn't all that made a comeback this week, Kennedy. Another news story resurfaced. I'm not sure why or what the fuck is going on, but all of a sudden this week, the GameStop guy came back, the guy that they made like a movie about, and the meme stocks guy, something Raging Kitty, I think it was. I watched the movie and it was pretty good.
RoboCop Kitty.
Yeah. But all of a sudden, for like seemingly no reason at all, this guy's been like pretty silent since like all that shit went down a couple years ago. But he popped back up this week, and GameStop price like tripled in a day or something, maybe doubled. And then like all these like, you know, business, journalism, whatever publications were like, shit, no, fuck, they're doing it again. And then, but then it just dissipated instantly and it dropped back down. So, you know, capitalism, they won.
Stonks really is just memes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to see an old friend pop up, you know?
You got any meme stonks?
I think I did buy some GameStop whenever that happened. I can't remember. I'm bad with money, though. So, like, if I did it, that's an indictment on the process in and of itself, you know?
Yeah. I have a tiny bit of Nokia stock that I now just have.
I think I might have gotten some Nokia stock, too. I don't know. We should go to a fucking shareholder meeting.
Yeah, dude. Let's go to a Nokia shareholder meeting.
On ketamine.
fuck yeah.
It
I'm
works
so
for
down.
Elon Musk. Yeah, so I don't know. Go out and buy a stock. Doesn't matter which one, just buy one. This is America.
Buy one share of any stock.
Yeah.
That's it. That's our financial advice.
Have you considered stock? Wait. Did you see? Holy fuck. Oh my God. Did you see?
Hey, tomorrow if some stocks go up, that was us.
Did you see that fucking, there was like some opinion piece that was like, if students want colleges to de-invest, maybe they should consider investing so they become shareholders and then they can have some say in it.
I did see that. Yeah. You know what's awesome about that is that the market cap of Lockheed Martin is like $130 billion. So in order to become an activist investor, you would have to be Elon Musk levels rich in the first place, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. But I do like, you know, just sometimes the audacity can piss me off, but other times it's just like, wow, you really sat down and wrote this out. Like, good God. So, I don't know. You'll love to see it. Our next story is also a bit of an update. Now, a few weeks ago...
I love an update.
Yeah, yeah. 7 weeks ago, we talked about the Francis Key Memorial Bridge in Baltimore. I think that's the
rest
name
in peace.
Of it. Yeah, rest in RIP to a real bridge. We talked about that, obviously, whenever it happened, and it was this whole fucking thing where, like, people were saying it was DEI or that, like, the bridge was woke or something. I don't fucking know. But yeah, it's taking a long time to clear that just like logistically and, you know, because of like the traffic in the harbor or whatnot. So this week, there was like a big detonation of one of the chunks of the bridge that was still there. And in the reporting about it, they said that the crew on the boat was experiencing loud banging for a while this was going on. And then it occurred to us that the crew of this boat has just been sitting on this fucking boat for the last 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Just stuck. Because, like, I think it's, like, 20 Indians and one Sri Lankan. and they don't have like visas to like get off the boat and be in the United States. So they've just been sitting there this whole fucking time. Now, like, they were supposed to be on the boat for like a month anyways. So it's not like, you know, being on a boat is something these guys were like not prepared to do or whatever. But it's fucking insane that they're just like, well, we're not going to like, we can't make some kind of special fucking exception or like expedited process so these guys can like go to a hotel for a night or something. They're like, nah, fuck them. Now, if Donald Trump was president, though, you know, we definitely wouldn't be able to let these guys off the boat. Just imagine if Donald Trump was president, Kennedy.
I'm imagining it. I'm imagining it.
What do you think the difference would be if Donald Trump was president? I think we would drone strike the boat. I think he would be like, what if we just nuke the thing? Like,
I think if Donald Trump was president, he would deport the boat.
Yeah, we would build a wall around the boat. Problem solved. Yeah. I guess at that point, it's kind of more just like an enclosure rather than a wall. I don't know how walls work. If
what
I'm
is
being
a wall?
Honest with you. What yeah. is a wall? Siri, what is a wall? She's going to answer.
What did Siri say?
Dividing surface. It divides space and buildings into rooms or protects buildings.
Fuck you. Anyways, thank you, Siri, for telling us what is a wall. I would have never been able to figure that out. And, you know, this podcast is very well researched. By the way, I didn't, like, hold up my phone. I was just, like, yelling, Siri, what is a wall, just to, like, do a joke. And then my phone lit up. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess we are always listening.
Robots are listening.
Yeah, Alexa, if you can hear this, send help. Yeah, so anyways, we have another transportation story. Kennedy, you wanted to tell us about an exciting new proposal for how we deal with congestion on roads. What's going on here?
This week, a tech company called, I think, Monocab.
Ooh.
Or at least their product's called Monocab for sure, jumped into the fray.
That's Jamaican for man of cab.
Yeah.
I should.
No. Not at all. No. So, Monocab, they came up with this brilliant invention. Okay, it's going to change everything. It's a little car that runs on a train track, but it's not a train.
It's not a train. We hate trains.
And
Kennedy.
We hate trains. The idea is that this is like some kind of quirked up on demand, probably like $700 per round trip or some bullshit.
Oh my God.
Never have to look at a poor person.
Well, that I like. Seeing poor people kind of makes me feel like maybe this country isn't so great, and I don't like to think that, okay? So if I could just never see another poor person, that's how you make America great again.
Also, they say that they're self-balancing little monorail-type cars, but then they have a little leg that can kick out in case of a problem or something, quote-unquote. And I'm like, okay, what? How stable are they?
I saw that they're calling them like self-balancing rail mono rail car. Here's the thing. If you wouldn't have put self-balancing in there, I wouldn't have even for a second thought, oh, that thing's going to tip over immediately. But the fact that you had to tell me like, this is my doesn't explode car. I'm like, oh, okay, hold on a sec. Like it really feels like they're trying to get out ahead of something. Like it doesn't inspire confidence in the ability to balance.
No, not at all.
I will say that this is a really good idea because like, you know, there's a lot of issues with like individual transportation, like cars, for example. And one of the biggest issues is that like, because cars are not attached to tracks, they can kind of go anywhere. And I always was, every time I'm in a car, I was like, man, I wish that I only could follow this one set of rails. Like, you know, it takes so much of the guesswork out. Like, you're never going to get lost if you're on a train. It only goes on
the
rails.
Can you imagine what a traffic jam will be like?
Yeah. Also, you know, one of the downsides of a car is the ability to drive around an obstacle, you know? I'm sick of that. I hate it. Whenever you're like in traffic because somebody broke down and like traffic slows down because you have to like, everybody has to like merge to get around the guy that broke down or whatever. I think it would be way better if it was just all one enclosed lane where if somebody breaks down, everybody just gets the rest of the day off.
Yeah, totally. And you know what's great about these little guys is that they're so small and compact compared to like a big train, which could be like heavy and have like a cattle catcher on the front and could just like push off like some tree branches or something that was in its way. Like these things are they're quiet, they're electric, they're compact, they're futuristic. That's way better than being able to push branches off the track.
Yeah, I'm sick of seeing videos where a car gets stuck on train tracks and then the train comes and destroys the car. I want to see the train come and the car destroys the train. Like, I want to see a fucking train pod mono fuckhead, whatever. I want to see that get flattened against the side of a pickup truck.
I want to see it hit a Cybertruck specifically.
I want to see so many things hit a Cybertruck, but that's neither here nor there.
I'm just glad that we can't have trains.
You know, it really feels like both sides of the government just hate autistic people at this point. Like, the one thing that both Democrats and Republicans can agree on is you motherfuckers are not getting any new trains. Sorry. Is that insensitive for me to say? I feel like, I mean, I don't know a ton of train lovers or a ton of autistic people, but I feel like there's the Venn diagram's a circle. I don't know.
As an autistic train lover, I do. It's not a circle, but there sure are plenty of us.
It's not a circle, but there sure are train tracks going through it. Folks, our next story. This is... Kennedy and I, the worst we get, we've been tracking the coming plague, and I saw a fucking story this week that I'm like, oh my God. Like, here's the thing. COVID, to the best of my knowledge, COVID was not something that was like really intentionally begun. Like, even like the like lab leak theory, I don't think that this was like somebody's evil plan. If it did escape from a lab, I think it was like kind of, oh shit, an accident, you know?
So yeah, that's more realistic, even if that is the case. But
so we
even that is highly dubious still.
Yeah. So we've been tracking this, you know, all these stories about the bird flu that is, you know, present in a lot of different places, and it's so far has not become highly contagious to humans. But that hasn't stopped like anti-vaxxers from like already there before it's even a pandemic. They're like getting out ahead of it this time. They got blindsided by COVID. They had to like make up their story as they went along. So I guess they're trying to like be prepared for bird flu, because this week I saw a story that you know, there was reports in like the last month or so that dead bird flu virus was being found in milk from different dairy farms all over the country. So the thing is that it's just like the dead virus, you know, whenever they pasteurize the milk or whatever, it kills off the, you know, viruses inside. But what people have started doing is buying raw milk that has not been pasteurized, that would have the live version of the virus in it. And people are like, it's rumored people are trying to get bird flu into their body to immunize themselves from it, like, so that they don't have to get a vaccine at some point.
Genius, dog.
Kennedy, people are trying to give themselves bird flu.
Never heard such a brilliant strategy in my life, dude. Here's the thing, too, is that the raw milk thing, we're just starting to get, as a food person,
mm-hmm.
we're just starting to get the regulations to start to relax a little bit on raw milk. Don't fuck this up for us.
Are you a raw milk enthusiast?
Not in particular, but I like making cheeses.
I see.
And I like, you know, I like the benefits that come from having access to raw milk. I don't really drink milk in general because I'm lactose intolerant.
I always make my milk wear a condom.
Sometimes I like to maybe make a little butter at home.
Ooh. MYOB, make your own butter. Let's fucking go. How do you make
That's
butter?
That's much harder to do with pasteurized milk. There's a whole set of reasons why. One of the big reasons is because it removes some of the calcium and some of the fat.
I know that butter is churned. What do you do? How do you get from raw milk to butter?
Well, it depends. And churning is actually, it's sort of optional.
Oh my God.
So like the easy way to make like cultured butter at home, this is what I like to do, is you need to start with a culturing agent, like some yogurt with culture in it.
So like it reads the New Yorker, it wears a hat.
Or like it orders sour cream, anything that's still live when you buy it, that's like of that type, cultured buttermilk. You can find a lot of these things at the store.
Cultured yogurt, will, whenever it goes to like an Asian noodle place, they'll be like, what level of spicy do you want? 1 to 5. Cultured yogurt will be like, I can do a 3, maybe even a 4.
Wow. cultured yogurt has seen, the Beetlejuice musical.
So you just what do? You just throw it in like you get the cultured stuff and you put it in a butter dish and then it just figures the rest out on its own.
not exactly. You gotta do a few steps. There's a little mixing involved no matter what, but you don't necessarily need a churn. So you got to let it like, you got to let some milk culture with some stuff in it. You got to mix it up. You got to strain some stuff out, some of the stuff out that you don't want.
Is there cheesecloth involved?
There can be, but there doesn't Ooh. Have to be, but there can be, because again, you want to get some of the liquid out.
Cheesecloth optional.
Usually wash and salt it after that. So like once it's like towards the end of its process, you like rinse it a couple of times in water when it's like close to like when it's like kind of getting to the right consistency and it's fairly firm, rinse it a couple of times in water and just like get that water to turn clearer. And then add some salt and then you've got butter. It's pretty easy. You could stir it by hand. It takes a little bit of a long time. If you have some kind of mixer, it's faster.
Wow.
But I've done both. Not that bad.
Incredible.
And I've used a butter churn too.
Let's fucking
I used to go to one of those old timey recreation villages when I was a kid, you know, where they're all doing the stuff.
I was at the grocery store last week and there was like artisanal butters. It was just like a slab of like garlic and herb butter. And I was like, you know what? Kind of want to get this, but I didn't. But maybe I will. Or maybe I'll fucking build my own butter.
Make your own compound butter at home, dude.
Yeah. Like Joe Biden said, build your butter.
It's not hard. It's not hard.
Cool. Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
Build back butter.
We got there. Folks, let's move on. This week, you know, there's been a lot of stories about colleges and like graduations and commencement speeches. Different schools are like canceling their fucking commencements altogether. Other schools are having just embarrassing fucking crypto dudes talk about Bitcoin at their graduation and getting laughed at by the entire fucking crowd. But a shocking commencement speech happened this week at a small college named Benedictine College in Kansas, where none other than the kicker of the Kansas City Chiefs, Harrison Butker, gave one of the most offensive speeches I think maybe has been given, like, probably in the last 50 years. Like, the...
It's really something.
His whole speech was about like the gender ideology is dangerous and then how like women should not have careers. There's like hundreds of women in this graduating class and he's telling them like you shouldn't have a career. You should be a wife. You should be in the kitchen. He said like my wife's life didn't begin until she became a mother. There's like 21-year-old women in the crowd being like, dog, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
yes, you're speaking to a conservative crowd, but like, or conservative leaning crowd to some extent, but like, also, like, you're speaking to like
women,
women who are graduating from college.
Which is even more fucked up because, like, if the women in the crowd have student loans and they took his advice, then it's the husband, and, you know, became stay at home wives, then their future husband has to pay their student loans off. So, you know, everybody loses in this plan, Harrison. Also, I don't think there's a good person named Harrison. Like, first name Harrison, can't think of one. Harrison Ford, good person, terrible pilot. Harrison Ford did 9/11. But, anyways, so. I can't talk about somebody crashing a plane and not bring up the fact that one time it was into the World Trade Center. Come on, Kennedy, you know me. You know, he gave this speech and like, I guess in like the slight defense of the NFL, like they came out immediately. We're like, whoa, like this is not what we ascribe to. Like this guy's speaking on his own accord. This is not representative of us. We like inclusion and diversity, blah, 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 blah. They did the woke response, which like, I mean, it's obviously the NFL's got a lot of problems and, you know, discussing organization through and out, but like they didn't have to do that. And like, I'm not going to give them no recognition for it. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't fucking care. But the one thing I did also see is that Harrison Butker jerseys started selling like hotcakes. Like they were like in the top like 3 or 4 jerseys that were sold for a couple days. And that's
great. Yeah,
that's disheartening. I saw, I think it was Freddie G, this comedian out of New York, a friend of the me on Twitter. He saw that and he retweeted or he quote tweeted and was like, there are Confederate flags everywhere for those with eyes to see. So the NFL, they get a little bit of points for calling it out, but all those points are then wiped away because they profited tremendously from the jersey sales. So fuck them. Kennedy. It's an election year. That's
I've
right.
I've heard that.
We're doing votes, folks. Vote early, vote often, vote late. Vote like your heart depends on it. And you know, there's a lot of stuff in the news that'll say you can't vote twice, but honestly, they don't even really check. So just go ahead, vote as many times as you want. Vote under other people's names. Wear a disguise. Fuck it. Vote. Vote.
Gotta vote.
Gotta vote. It's vote or die, folks. That's right. Most important election of our lives. Anyways, this week, prosident John Brardon, good old Brandon, he put out a, he's seen like enough with the Drake and Kendrick beefing that he's like, okay, I'm going to drop a diss video. And he posted a fucking video on social media just calling out Donald Trump to do a debate. And here's the thing, is that, like, for so many reasons, this sucks, and I hate the world we live in. Because, like, first of all, there are kind of supposed to be presidential debates. So, like, the fact that, like, it was like, maybe there won't be, blah, blah, blah. It's like, what are we even doing? Like, this is all part of the charade. Like, just do it. Like, fuck you guys. But then also, like, it was real fucking cringe. Like, he was, like, trying to be, like, all tough. And he's like, hey, Donald, I know you're free on Wednesdays. Like, what? Are you chicken? Are you chicken? Like, let's do. I don't think he said, are you chicken? But, you know, it was that vibe, you know?
He might have mentioned Corn Pop.
Corn Pop was there in spirit no matter what. Corn Pop. Okay, Joe Biden killed a man named Corn Pop in 1963, and that dude's spirit still lives on inside of him. You could see it.
That's who Mitch McConnell sees when he has those moments.
Corn Pop! Yeah, so Joe Biden called out Donald Trump and said, use a little chump. Why don't you debate? Joe Biden got on Twitter to said, debate me, bro. And it worked. Donald Trump has accepted to debate on CNN, which...
I mean, we're clowning Joe Biden, but he was right about, like, that tactic would easily work on Donald Trump.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know. It's... I feel like...
Donald Trump's like, what? He called me out? He called me out on social media? I'm not afraid of this man.
And it's funny because,
I'm not afraid of Sleepy Joe.
There was, what, six Republican primary debates, five or six of them, and Donald Trump didn't show up to any of them. Maybe fucking Vivek should have been like, Trump, I challenge you. Like, I don't know. Somebody should have done it. Doug Burgum?
I think if anything, like Donald Trump is just, he's swaggering right now a little bit in a sense, because he's like, yeah, I didn't go to any of those primary debates, but I'll go throw blows with Joe.
Here's the thing. I have had a habit of getting my hopes up for presidential debates, or, like, really a lot of different things in this realm of electoral politics over the last, you know, 8 years or so, and every single time it has been just a tremendous disappointment. And Kennedy, I am ready to make that mistake again, because I don't think either one of these motherfuckers are ready for it. Like, I don't, there was that one clip whenever the report came out that said Joe Biden was, like, forgetful of some details or whatever. That came out, and, like, do you remember the press conference where Biden, like, came out and he's like, now listen here, I don't forget anything. But
yeah, he sat. You remember that clip that used to go around back in the day that was, like, an early viral thing of, like, Charles Manson just making mouth sounds? He's like, Roush, Roush, Ramish, Roush, Gag, Roush, James, Roush, Roush, Peace, Roush. But he seems, like, really insistent and, like, kind of intense and a little upset.
I don't think Joe Biden can win this debate.
It's a vibe that I'm getting.
I don't think Joe Biden can win this debate. I don't know if Donald Trump can, but I really don't think Joe Biden can, because, like, if Trump just gets him, like, a little flustered, he looks pathetic. He looks like a frustrated old person who, like, doesn't know how to, like, I don't know, open the door of his Tesla or something. Like, it's not going to be a good look. If Trump can get under his skin a little bit, like, Biden does not have fucking poise anymore, man. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea. Like, I think one of the strongest reasons that Joe Biden won in 2020 is that, like, he mostly stayed out of the public eye. Like, he didn't. And I mean, that was more for COVID, but, like, I think that worked to his benefit. And, like, Trump's definitely lost a bit of a step, but I feel like he still can needle pretty well. Like, I think Trump could definitely still get under Biden's skin.
Honestly, at this point, I don't know what to think, because they're both kind of. They're definitely, neither of them have the same level of.
Definitely not, but I think I don't know. I am kind of excited for it. Also, it's happening in June, which is crazy. Like, the presidential debates usually happen like from like September and maybe August, September, October, like that time frame. It's crazy to be having the debate in June. But like, I don't know. Let's fucking go. I do have my hopes up. I think it'll be entertaining. And I guess the universe will try and prove me wrong, but who knows? Maybe we will get, maybe one or both of them will pee their pants.
Ooh.
But unfortunately, because this is not an official presidential debate, you know, like run through the actual elections commission or whatever, there will not be a third podium on that stage. One, Robert fucking Kennedy Jr. Will not be invited because he's polling around like 15-16%, which should qualify him to be on the debate stage, like if they were doing it through the regular commission or whatever. But yeah, he's not going to be there. So he is getting, you know, wow. he's doing his own thing. He had a campaign event this week with like fucking Russell Brand and like some other shitty like edgelord comedians. And his vice presidential pick, she did a comedy set.
Okay.
And in it, she said that she has committed another $8 million of her own money to the campaign, which brings the total that she has contributed to $15 million. And I actually think that's pretty funny. Like, I don't know. Robert F. Kennedy, like, asked
this. Is she just really rich and having a good time or what?
I think it's partially that, but also partially, like, RFK just picked a person that was, like, wealthy enough that he could, like, dangle, like, oh, you could be the vice president. And so maybe she's too stupid to realize that'll never happen. Like, I don't know. I think RFK could affect the election. I do not think in any way, shape, or form he could win for himself. Like, I think he could be the reason that one of the other two loses, but I don't think he's winning.
I don't even think he could spoil the election.
Yeah,
I think
probably
anybody
not.
That votes for RFK is not somebody who's interested in participating in normal society.
yeah, I don't know, but I think it's great. I think it's great that somebody is lighting $15 million on fire for some guy to be able to sell a little bit more books at some point in his life. Kennedy, speaking of fucking awful rich people, this week...
Hey.
Whoa.
It's not for some guy to be able to sell more books. Don't forget, RFK has been ratatouille'd by a brain worm.
For some worm to sell more books through the hands of some guy. Okay. Now we're
Thank
fixing.
You. Thank
fixing.
You.
Kennedy, you know, speaking of awful rich people, a new contender this Ooh. Week stepped forward to try and buy TikTok. Some billionaire tech freak named Frank McCourt, who apparently used to own the Dodgers, and everybody hated him. He almost like destroyed the franchise or something. He has launched what he is calling the people's bid for TikTok. A billionaire is trying to buy this app and he's calling it the people's bid. What is the point of the world anymore? Now, he is one of these like techno-libertarian freaks that like speaks in word salad about like autonomous, like blah, blah, blah. Like he'll say four different words that you're like, I kind of know what those words mean, but like you're mixing them all together. This is nothing. Shut up. But yeah, like he says that he wants to change the way that social media works, where it's not like focused on, or it's not being controlled by the CEOs, but rather by the users of it, which I would argue, if that is true, you don't want to spend billions of dollars on it. So you just want to like do the thing where you're dressing up a scam, basically.
He wants to do the Elon Musk thing, is what I'm hearing. He's like, hey, I want to be the next Elon.
But also somehow like more like blockchain something. Like, I feel like this guy knows what the blockchain is a little too much, you know? It's like blockchain is like ephibophilia. If you know what it is, I don't trust you.
I think the blockchain is like, it's like a chain, but the links are square.
Yeah, no, they're Legos with little holes in them.
Oh.
Yeah. Come on, Kennedy. It's in the fucking name. Well, I guess they're not officially branded Legos, but like, it's, you know, they're like Legos that you get off Temu.
Okay.
They'll still fit with all your sets, but like, you know, you might be missing a piece, and we'll see. And but if you call it a Lego, then somebody shows up at your house and sues you. It's Macy Gray. Yeah, so that's exciting. It'll be interesting to see. I'm still rooting for China just like letting the US ban TikTok and making everybody mad at us. Like I think it's tough to say, but like I think TikTok, as opposed to like the Chinese version, I forget what it's called. I think TikTok's like only 10% of that company. So like I really hope they call our bluff. I really hope they just say, all right, fuck it. You don't get to use TikTok anymore, because that's going to make a lot of Americans really fucking mad. You know, that's literally like the government censoring speech, like in such a vast scale that I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of things that happen like slowly degrading wise that, although it's like against people's interests to support the people doing it, it's so slow that like they don't really see it like enough to like identify it. But like something like overnight, like the thing that you love using on your phone goes away and it's the government's fault. That's the kind of shit that like we need more of that kind of stuff.
Also, like, I mean, like literally like thousands of people will lose their incomes overnight.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can all become Uber drivers. Uber pod rail mono drivers.
We can talk about the potential this and that about to what extent we should be protecting some of these content creators or blah blah whatever, you know, until we're blue in the face. But the reality is that most of them are just like regular people who have managed to make a living off of their art and are very fortunate to have done so and would like to keep doing so and should not be deprived of that by the government just throwing a fucking tantrum.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially whenever you look into like, you know, there was a story out this week that, every like newer car like built within the last few years has been outfitted with like sensors and cameras and like different ways for the car to keep track of your data. And then car companies are selling that data to insurance companies. And like, so unbeknownst to you, your car is literally spying on you. Like we have built you getting spied on into the system of capitalism so seamlessly that like to pretend that you're mad that a country could potentially do the same thing when we are currently doing it. And it's actually like, there was some story about a guy who like, he got a notice that his insurance was like doubling his car insurance. And so he called the company. He's like, what the fuck? And he's like, well, we bought the data from your car and it said that you speed a lot. So your car insurance doubled. And that's like, wait, this is Big Brother. Like this is the thing you guys always say you care about. Like, I know like pointing out hypocrisy is useless, but like, guys, this is the thing. The thing that you say is bad is happening.
Well, no, it's not Big Brother, because instead of being a centralized system, it's a series of you know, fair exchanges on the capitalist market, and I'm really smart and I'm definitely not huffing gasoline over here.
In fucking sane. Kennedy, we got a couple updates out of Gaza, you know, some things to talk about here. We're not gonna spend too much time on this because it makes me want to die to talk about it, but you know, we do have a few updates. A new fighter has joined the resistance. An Israeli tank this week killed five IDF soldiers because it thought they were Hamas fighters.
Wow, they're good at this.
Five fucking soldiers you lit up because you are so bad of an army doing such an atrocity laden fucking campaign that you didn't even bother to check and see, like, hey, those guys, let's see if they're wearing our uniforms real quick before we blow them up. It's fucking wild how many examples there are of Israel's military both doing horrible things on purpose and on accident. Like, man, the longer this war goes on, like, every country that has, like, previously felt like, we can't fuck with Israel is like, they have to be thinking, like, we can probably fuck with Israel. Like, it's just wild. Like, imagine the, you know, friendly fire accidents happen from time to time. But goddamn, you know, imagine Benjamin Netanyahu having to show up to these, or call these families like, hey, just so you know, your kids won't be coming home from war. Yeah, no, Hamas had nothing to do with it. Like, God, man. You know, I'm not going to say I pretend to have the solution of, like, how do you fix this long term, but I bet if you stopped invading Gaza, way less people, I would say zero IDF soldiers would be killed by IDF soldiers. Maybe. Maybe that's still a little too optimistic, but I don't know. Just a suggestion.
I also saw that... a witness or a supposed witness to the October 7th attacks claimed that a 10-year-old Palestinian child killed 50 Israelis. This kind of propaganda is obviously very sick and deranged and designed to incite very terrifying things to happen. But putting that aside for one moment, it is kind of funny to suggest that, like, the average Palestinian child could, like, fight a bear, essentially, or, like, you know, and, like, meanwhile, the average Israeli, like, gets knocked down by a hard sneeze and is just gone forever. Like, what exactly, what, a 10-year-old child?
Also, like, not for nothing, 50 Israelis, if you put this on a scale that Americans will understand, that would be the second most deadly mass shooting in America's history. Incredible. We should get that 10-year-old Palestinian, a 10-year-old out mass shooting to every single thing in American history except for the Las Vegas shooting. Incredible.
Yeah. Wow. Just what a claim. What a thing to say happened.
I saw somebody tweet that's like, it's like, you should be more embarrassed that like that. To claim that a 10-year-old killed 50 people, like, that's something you don't say. Like, man, you're not making yourself look better here.
No, especially considering, like, how well equipped and trained the IDF is and shit like that. And I know they're not saying he killed 50 IDF soldiers, but still, it's just like the discrepancy in the armaments of these two peoples, two countries, whatever. And, like, just, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. So, you know, there's been ongoing protests in the United States now since October 7th, and they've really been ramping up over the last month and a half or so, across college campuses, especially across the entire country. And this is really exciting, Kennedy. This week, California State University Sonoma campus, the president of that school, came out and said that he's going to negotiate with the protesters that he, you know, wants to agree to their demands, especially for like divestment. And like, he can't, you know, he didn't come out and say like, you're going to get everything you want. But like, he signaled that like, I think that this is the right thing to do. And we're going to, let's figure out a way to do this or whatever, you know?
Hell yeah, dude. Wait, hold on.
The school immediately placed him on administrative leave.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, I think there's an update to this story coming.
Yeah, the school was like, oh, you're going to negotiate with these kids peacefully protesting? You're
going to negotiate with literal Hamas terrorists,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
a.k.a. the students paying to be at this school?
Insane. Like I said, I'm at a loss for words for all this shit, but just like, man, wild the lengths we are willing to go. I don't know. So Kennedy, our main story for this week, the last thing I want to talk about. I saw this article, and I think a friend of the show, former guest of the show, current patron of the show, Shane, shared this. I'm pretty sure. If I got that wrong, I will not apologize. I refuse to apologize.
That's reasonable. Yeah.
Reasonable. Thank you. I saw this article, and the title of the article is, I went to China and drove a dozen electric cars. Western automakers are cooked. So this is an article out of a website called InsideEVs.com by a writer named Kevin Williams. And I think that this is like, I'm not a kind of person that like typically wants to read articles about tech or cars. Like, I don't care that much. Like,
yeah, this one shocked me because Andrew Hillary was like, hey, read a whole article. And it was kind of long.
It was kind of long.
I only skimmed some of it.
If I'm the one telling you to read an article, that is the appropriate response. the thing that was so interesting about this article is because, you know, I don't know how much of this is kind of played up or whatnot, but if taking what the writer is saying at face value, it seems that like essentially he went into writing this article he went into the experience of going to China with like one complete set of preconceived notions about not just Chinese automakers, but like Chinese policy and Chinese government and like how it all works together. And just in the week he spent there, it like completely shifted his worldview and understanding of American capitalism. And it's really interesting because like,
yeah, this guy really is having an existential moment as he writes this article. Like
multiple times in this article
changed in his brain.
Multiple times in this article, he references how like he went to China with this like understanding that like China's advancements in manufacturing are like illegitimate, that like it's, you know, all you know, something like trickery by the Chinese government, or like they're oversaturating like subsidies to like make this seem like it's better than it is.
Right. And I mean, how often do we see that shit? And even now it's like there's going to be like at least one person who listens to this show that's going to be like, oh, Andrew and Kennedy are pro-China now. And it's like, literally all we're saying is that they made some cars that are pretty good, which isn't even like a positive statement necessarily, because like the worst week yet is not exactly pro-car as a podcast. It's like, you know, there's this intense need to sort of like constantly belittle China in America. And even a lot of people on the, you know, more progressive left-wing liberalish side of politics do it a lot. And it's to the point of absurdity where like, yeah, like every single time China does something like, hey, we built a new bridge and it's an impressive bridge, or hey, we made some new boats and they're really good, there will always be someone in the media going, well, you know, they only showed you that one boat in the thing, and they say they're manufacturing 150 of them, but I suspect that they can only manufacture one or two of them, and you know, they're just, this is all for show to make it seem like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What, you know, there's always like those kinds of commentators like coming in on anything about China. And it's like, nobody's even like really saying much just to say that like China makes stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not even like a positive statement entirely necessarily. Like I was saying, in terms of like, you know, we're like kind of anti-car around here. At least mildly.
Yeah. I mean, I would, if like the thing about electric cars at this point is that, you know, the United States, it seems like we're like trying to do it to push them, but like kind of almost as a novelty. Like, you know, the way that our government is doing, you know, implementing electric car policy is like making like forcing automakers to offer like enough electric models to balance out the gas guzzling models so that like it like equals to zero or something on a spreadsheet, which is like, I guess electric cars are better than no electric cars, but like it's the focus of it isn't
goofy. Yeah.
The focus of it isn't we need to stop using gas. It's just like we need to have more, like, I don't know. It doesn't seem
well. And then worse than that is like you have this piecemeal solution to a lot of this stuff going on in the states right now, a lot where you have certain states taking certain actions. But A, like no state is taking all of the appropriate actions.
Mm-hmm.
And B, on the federal level, basically nothing is happening. And yeah. So it's like you have like a handful of states being like, by 2045 or something, you're not in 2045, you're not gonna be able to buy a gas car in this state anymore. Or like, you know, like setting some kind of deadline, like.
Yeah, and a lot of
you
that
know,
stuff.
No more, and it's like that stuff's happening, but it's happening in like six states, you know.
And like there are like vague things that like Biden has said to it, and like I think there might even be like some kind of FDA regulations that have been changed or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like the thing is that like they're just setting a goal and then like not really committing what would be necessary not only to like fund the research to get us there, but also to protect it from Donald Trump could on day one of his next term, just change the FDA thing. And then it's like, oh, all the rules we made disappeared. You know, cars are required to have two gas tanks now or whatever. Like there's no like long-term, like structure to the plans.
All cars are required to roll coal now. Bring your Prius in for retrofitting.
Like there's vague long-term visions, but there's not like the kind of structural shit that you need to like do this. Like, you know, just as an example, like how much money have we sent to like Israel this year? Like what, $20-30 billion or something? Yeah. So we can get $30 billion out of fucking nowhere for weapons. If you want to get to the fucking moon, if you want to do something that big, if you want to change the way that cars in America work, take $30 billion and put it into building fucking electric vehicle plants. Or like, you know, the way that we do this with like, we have like tax credit incentives for automakers. But then they're able to sell the tax credits to other automakers to offset the fact that they're not building electric cars. That is you're not doing the thing. Like the whole reason why Elon Musk was or is the richest person in the world is not because he was building Teslas, is because he was selling electric car credits to other manufacturers so that they could keep building cars that get 5 miles to the gallon of gas. It's so... People say that, like, oh, the way that the government runs China, blah, blah, blah. It's like, our government is contributing to this, but in a, like, end-around way that doesn't result in the end result, where in China, there's, like, dozens of new models of electric cars. We don't get that. And, like, you know, the government is putting its hand on a scale here and there, but they're the ones that are getting the good result for the people. We're just getting Elon Musk.
Yeah, and like this guy pointed out in this article, you know, that like, and I've, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this guy pointed out in this article that, you know, there were like 100+ new cars at this car show.
Yeah.
And like that, you know, he went to like the Detroit automakers car show with one new car at it recently. And I've been to a couple of major American car shows, and a lot of them were kind of lackluster. Like, we're not talking like lots of new exciting models and things like that. One of them, you know, like, I remember there were some Maybachs at it, and it's like Maybach had already gone out of business by that point. And I was like, this is supposed to be like a new cars, like that, like a leading manufacturers. Like, this is like a high dollar event where they drove tons of cars into a showroom and stuff. And, you know,
it's insane. Yeah. So in the article, like, this guy talks about like the different, there's like not just different brands, but like several different like levels of electric cars. Like, he was looking at some of the like extreme luxury models, but he was also looking at like the models that people, like, you know, lower middle class people could maybe afford to get, like, or, you know, like, you know, there are not just, they weren't just trying to make electric cars for the wealthiest people. They were like, we want to have like a wide variety of options so that more people can have access to this technology. And, you know, he said, I think out of the like several dozen cars he talked about, there was like three or four that were there made by American car makers. And the thing is that like he, you know, I don't think this is just his personal opinion. Like, the American ones fucking sucked by comparison, because what Chinese car makers are doing is they're putting things into cars that people want. Like, they are, like, they're purposefully making them to be appealing. They're like, you know, putting large, very responsive touchscreens in them, which, like he said, the few American touchscreens that he used in the cars were trash. And it's like, you know, stuff like that. If the car is supposed to be futuristic, it shouldn't be using like 5-year-old fucking operating systems inside the car or whatever. Like, I recommend folks actually go and read this article, because, like, again, I'm not the kind of person that would typically enjoy a tech article or a car article, but the journey that this guy goes on, like, by the end of it, he's like, oh, like, we're doing literally everything wrong. And, yeah, you know, it's really interesting. You know, I don't want to sit here and just read it out loud, because, you know, reading, I already have enough trouble reading, but I will put a link to it in the notes for the show. And, next time, listeners, next time you're on the toilet, I would go and give this a read.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. amazing article with lots of interesting stuff in it. I was kind of joking earlier. I actually did not skim the article, really. Like, I read pretty
Kennedy.
Much all of it, except for I kind of ran out of time and sort of had to skim the ending a tiny bit, just because.
Don't let the listeners know that. Pretend you didn't prepare. You're ruining our street cred.
I just want them to know that I really think it's a worthwhile read. You know, it's not something that's worth just hearing us paraphrase. Yeah, I mean, I think it was very fascinating. And again, I want to like emphasize, like, we're not here to be like, oh, China good necessarily, but more so like, well, why don't we have this?
It's not necessarily that China good, it is, but it is that America bad, you know?
Yeah. And like I said, just like, why don't we have this? Why haven't we had like an electric car renaissance sponsored by the government? You know, why doesn't the government just say, hey, your PPP loans are due unless you invest in renewable energy? Like, fucking, you know, like,
It's our government is just like does not fucking work for us. Like I was talking to my dad recently.
Yeah.
And he said that he got some notice that the municipality he lives in is going to be raising the cost of water, like utility bills, every year for the next 5 years in order to upgrade infrastructure. And it's like, I get if they have to upgrade infrastructure, that money has to come from somewhere. But like, dog, Joe, like the president, like we talk about infrastructure all the time. Like, this is the kind of shit that you should be using the government's money for. Like, don't make the people that live in these places have to pay money to replace the lead pipes you dumbasses buried 100 years ago and didn't think that might kill people. Like, this isn't, like, we don't need
just, like,
tanks.
Take the foosball table away from the cops or whatever, you know? Yeah. Like,
I don't know. Like, I saw a fucking cop, a police station in Florida, bought a Rolls Royce in order to attract new recruits. They made a fucking $300,000 police car. So, yeah, of course, I think it's reasonable that I have to pay to fix the fucking broken ass pipes that you guys didn't think ahead
it
when you buried.
It used to be like not so long ago that like the police budget was like one sort of reasonable size line item alongside several others. And that mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily justify the existence of the cops because they were still a racist institution back then, but they were a less expensive racist institution.
Yeah.
Now it's like you look at your city's budget and it's like 85% of it goes to the police.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and like 0.7% of it goes to the library instead of like, oh, well, like 15% goes to the police and 10% goes to the library and 15% goes to the fire department. And, you know, like something that might like make a bit of sense, like literally like go look at your city's budget and it'll be like well over half of it goes to the cops in every major city.
It's
without
absurd.
Exception.
And just to like put a bow on it, the one thing that I will say is that, you know, a lot of the news about China's electric car boom, it has been covered like, oh, they're trying to like build these cheaper than they should be electric cars to export them and start selling them around the world so that we all have to buy the Chinese cars or whatever. And like the thing is that first of all, if you believe in free market, they should be able to do that. Like that. Fuck you. Like, second of all, the United States, Joe Biden is like, we're not going to let that happen. So he's like announced this week that he's just putting even more additional tariffs on any Chinese automobile so that like they're just prohibitively expensive. Like these cars, if they weren't tariffed, would be like pretty cheap, like super, at least affordable, like comparable to other cars, maybe even cheaper than like your typical gas car or whatever, because like, you know, that's just how China rolls. They can make stuff for cheaper. And, you know, there's bad reasons for that, whatever. But, like, there's bad reasons for all the stuff we have. So, like, if cars aren't going to be any different, like, at least let us buy the... I don't fucking know. But, yeah, so Joe Biden, he's doing everything he can to make sure that less electric cars are driven on the roads in the United States. And I think that's fucked up. Hey, what if Donald Trump was doing a trade war with China? Oh, wait a second. Hold on. Wait a minute. Donald Trump did do it. You know what? I'm not going to look into it. I do also just want to end on, I don't know if this is real. It probably isn't because the only source I saw was just a single tweet. But I'm going to choose, because this is my show, I'm going to choose to believe that this is real and repeat it as news. in response to Joe Biden signing new trade tariffs on China, China said that they are considering nationalizing the McDonald's within their borders. Again, I have no idea how true that is, but fuck it. I like that. I think they should. And that would make me a happy meal. Oh, damn. I really ruined it with that. Kennedy, thank you for joining me today. Listeners, thank you for, again, if we are still, if the world has not exploded by the time this comes out, thank you for listening. And please support the show at patreon.com/worstweekyet. Kennedy, you got anything to plug or let people know about?
You can follow me on Twitter.
Hell yeah.
I'm tweeting again.
Hell yeah. We love to see it, folks.
The reality is that every social media website right now is a cesspool.
Yeah, there's like no good place.
There's no good place.
Varying degrees of bad place.
Blue Sky was the good place when it was private, but now that it's public to the world, it's just the okay place.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've got some big projects in coming up, and
ooh.
I just felt like tweeting.
Hell yeah.
Tweeting was the move.
I'm gonna be honest. I got a notification from Kennedy the other day, and I was like, this is great. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, went viral already again, so you know.
Let's fucking go.
I'm back. Did you see the post?
Which one was it? I've seen a bunch of them, but
I did the I
was it the fingernails one?
No, I quote tweeted the thing about the Trump and Biden agreeing to the debate.
Oh yeah.
With a venue idea, and it's the Ocean Gate Titan. 200,000 likes later.
Oh shit. Let's fucking go. Hell yeah.
We're so fucking back.
We're so fucking back. Orcas, stonks, and Kennedy going viral. It's all secular. Anyways, we'll be back with more bad news eventually, but tune in again next week for said bad news. What the fuck am I doing? God damn it.